Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to KKIM, the oldest Christian radio station in New Mexico. And we're continuing on in a subject called The Sons of God. And I'm in Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read this next context according to Panins. And it says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, I've been to churches where they argue about this predestination thing. And here it tells you exactly what the predestination is, and it's actually pretty simple. We are predestined. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to what? Conformed to the image of his Son. The predestination is Jesus is the goal. We are to be conformed to the goal. As Jesus is the logo of God, he is the image, the expressed, exact image of God. And we are to be conformed to that image. And it starts actually with being conformed to his fundamentals, the foundation truths that are found written in Hebrews chapter 6, repentance, faith, baptisms, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And there are seven of them, at least because baptisms is in the plural. It might be eight because it might be talking about three baptisms or two, the water baptism and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So there are at least seven fundamentals that show us the image that will, as we not only read those and look into those and apply them to ourselves, we will become like them. The Bible is not meant to just be read. It's meant to do, to practice. There's a whole book on practices. When's the last time you read the practices of the Bible? Well, the book of Acts is the book of practices. It's the Greek word praxis. So as you practice praxis, you are acting on God's promises. Okay, the next place, Son of God is found. This is in Romans 9, and the context, according to Panins, is 1 through 13. I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul is talking about the Jews. And you know what? There's coming a day soon when that veil is going to be lifted from their eyes and they're going to see their Savior, Jesus the Christ. And they're also going to accept us Christians as one and the same with them, because actually in Romans chapter 2 and 3, there is no distinction between a Jew or a Gentile as long as we have all been circumcised. Did I raise your eyebrows? Circumcised in your heart. That's the ultimate circumcision. We'll do a teaching on that. Actually, there is one been done. You can go back, and it's around 18, 19, 20 of the shows, and it actually lists it there as being the circumcision of the heart. There's at least seven scriptures that show that our heart needs to be circumcised, men and women alike. Anyway, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons, and glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the temple service, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and from whom is Christ according to the flesh, who is over all. God bless forever. Amen. And I'm going to keep reading here. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Nor are all children because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac your descendants will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God. See, it's not born of the blood, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah will have a son. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born and had not yet done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to choice would stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls, it was said to her, the older will serve the younger. Just as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau I hated. So anyway, God's children are the children of the promise, sons of God, children of the promise, not because of what race you are, but because of God who called you. You are a son of promise. And it says very clearly, it's not just those who are of Israel. Okay? And the next place we're going to read is, and we read the whole context there, is Romans 9:26. And I'm going to read, the context here is 19 through 29. And again, a context, if you're just hearing this for the first time, it's established by Panins, by My Bible Numerics. This is not mysticism like it is found in a Da Vinci Code and other such things. This is actually the pattern that is there in the Bible numerically. And so the context, the full context or the full thought here starts in verse 19 and goes to 29. And I'm going to start reading in verse 26. But if you want to read the whole thing, you can do that on your own. And it shall be that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. And that's quoting Hosea. And so a son of God is a person, but it is a person who are led by the Spirit of God. They are sons of God. And to as many as received him, so they had to have received him. He gave the authority to become sons of God, so they received Christ as Lord, Master, and Savior. And they are being led by the Spirit. They are sons of God. They are people who have the Holy Spirit. So that's 9:26. That's the 15th scripture that we've been looking into. This is the 16th. This is about the third tape on this. Let's see. I'm going to start reading. This is 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with the unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. See, Son of God is a temple of God. And so he says, this is what he says about this temple, that if you are a son of God, this is you. If you are not, if this does not pertain to you, you are not a son of God, and you need to become one. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty. That's a good one, wasn't it? Okay, the next one we're going to read, this is, I think, about the 17th. We're in Galatians, and this is Galatians 26, the context 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So a son of God has to have faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, oh, they also have to be baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. And you see, that takes care of the nakedness that Adam and Eve felt when they had sinned and died. It says, in the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. They didn't physically die, did they? They died, and there's actually two Greek words for die. One is nekros, which is like dead tissue, and the other is thanato. And it means to be separated from God. So in the day that Adam and Eve ate, they did not necron, they did not physically die, but they were separated from God, die. But let me start reading this again. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. A son of God is a son of the promise. Isn't that neat? Now, here's another place. Galatians chapter 4, we're going to read 6 through 7 as a context. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, than an heir through God. You are not only a son, you're also a joint heir of Jesus. You get all the goodies. Now here's another place, and you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. That was, I just read Galatians 4:28. There's more than what we're actually reading in here that shows what sons of God truly are. Now, this one is found in Philippians, speaking of sons of God. This is chapter 2, and the context is 12 through 18, and the target verse is verse 15. So then, my brethren, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So you can see in this context, God's children are called my beloved. How many times do your parents tell you they loved you? Well, my parents were not Spirit-filled believers. They were not Christians. They never went to church. They never read the Bible. But they did let us know that they loved us. And I think my wife and I didn't let a day go by that we didn't tell our children that we loved them. And God doesn't let a day go by that He doesn't call His children my beloved. Just as you have always obeyed, now one stipulation for being a son of God is you got to obey. You know, to live in the house. Well, when I was age 17, I didn't obey my parents, so guess what? I wasn't living in their house anymore. And I really respect them for doing that to me. I had to grow up pretty – I was done with high school by that time, but and I was in college when they kicked me out, but I did it to myself. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I was one of those Christians. I'm not going to badmouth other people. I'll just badmouth myself. When I was a Christian, I was better in church than I was away from church when I became, a Christian. And that bugged me. All that just tore me up. I would go crying to the pastor, something is wrong. And you see, that church was not Holy Spirit filled. And I went to another church. What is wrong with me? I cried out to them and so on. And finally, I got the Holy Spirit and that took care of the problem. So it's much more in God's absence and in his absence, in other people's absence, especially, but in God's absence, we are always to be obedient. And it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling and disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. If you are just like everybody else in the world, my friend, there is something wrong. That light needs to be on all the time, 24 hours a day, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. So you can see a son of God is obedient to God. He is working out his own salvation with fear and trembling. It says that in there. And that we are to be obedient even in God's absence, even the more so, it says, when God is and men are not around to watch us. Okay. The next place is found in Hebrews. And this is an interesting scripture, because this is a man learning to endure shame for the gospel's sake. I'll read the whole context here. It's 1 through 13 of Hebrews chapter 12. The target verse is 12:7. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. For you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. Hey, look, if you haven't drawn blood yet, I guess God is saying don't complain. I haven't drawn blood, and I know a lot of people have not yet. Now, some countries, they have, and some people have. But most of us Christians are a little bit on the thin skin side. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Do you want to hear what it says in the King James Version? If you don't have discipline, you're a bastard. And the illegitimate children, it's been a bit softened here in the New American Standard Version. But if you are without discipline, you are a bastard. You're not a son. You are illegitimate. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. But God disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. So here is a test of sonship. You are disciplined. So now we can list so far that those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That's a test of sonship. If you have been baptized into Jesus and clothed yourself with Christ, that's a test of sonship. If you have received Lambano, Jesus, into your heart, if you've received him, and it's not saying the sinner's prayer, that actually is not in the Bible, but to receive him, you're receiving him, your mind is receiving him as Lord, Master, he's the boss, and Savior. These are tests of sonship, and that you are disciplined because you're part of the house, you're disciplined. And because of your discipline, we just read the scripture, you obey him. And you not only obey him when he's around or people are around, but you obey him 24 hours a day. And that's a test of sonship. We just read that. If you want to go back over that one, it was, I think, in Galatians. Okay, I think I've got time for another one. And we're going to read in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, another test of sonship. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children, and it has not yet appeared as yet what we will be. In other words, we don't know the end of the matter yet. You know, a little child sitting there wondering, what am I going to be like when I'm fully grown? What kind of a job? Am I going to be a dentist or an airline pilot or a radio announcer or whatever? And they don't know the end result. We know, though, we know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. I read 1 John 3, 1 through 3. So he's speaking to his children, and we purify, a son of God is purifying himself by trying to be like dad. Just like a child in the world who admires and adores his dad, we especially and admire our perfect dad in heaven, and we'll try to be like him. And through the Spirit's help, we will be like him, and we should be more and more every day. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth, and may the truth of God set you free.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, Post Office Box 66149, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87193. That's Box 66149, Albuquerque, 87193. Or call us toll-free at 866-754-6527. That's 866-754-6527. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."